Well, thank you again, my listening people, my old friends, and my new phone friends. This is the Reverend CJ again, one more time, coming into your home from BBS Radio. It's a pleasure to be here with you, to discuss with you, and to share some good news. I want you to just sit back, kick back, and enjoy nothing but good news. I would like to talk to you today from Psalms 37, and we'll be beginning from verse 1, of course. But the theme or topic from that would be, do not fret. Do not fret. The Psalms opens with the first precept. It is a loss too common for believers in their hours of adversity to think themselves harshly dealt with when they see persons utterly destitute of religion and honesty, rejoicing in abundant prosperity. Much needed is the command. Much needed is the command. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. To fret is to worry, to have the heart burn, to fume, to become vexed. Nature is very apt to kindle a fire of jealousy when it sees lawbreakers riding on horses and obedient subjects walking in the mire. It is a lesson learned only in the school of grace. When one comes to view the most paradoxical provinces with the devout complacency of one who is sure that the Lord is righteous in all his acts. But you know what? It seems hard, very hard, and it is, to carnal judgment that the best meat should go to the dogs. While loving children pine for want of it, it is not right. The good stuff goes to the wicked. We cannot put a finger on that. I don't understand it either. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. The same advice under another shape. When one is poor, despised, and in deep trial, our old Adam naturally becomes envious of the rich and great. And when we are conscious that we have been righteous than they, the devil is sure to be at hand with blasphemous reasonings. So you see, stormy weather may curdle even the cream of humanity. evil men instead of being envied are to be viewed with horror and aversion. Yet their loaded tables and gilded trappings are too apt to fascinate our poor half-opened eyes. Who envies the fat bullock? Who envies the fat bullock, the ribbons and garlands which decorate him as he is led to the shambles? Yet the case is a parallel one. For ungodly rich men are but a beast fattened for the slaughter. So fret not, because evildoers, every wicked man, would be taken away from the earth. It is only a matter of time. Nothing go unnoticed. God will address every situation. No matter what it is, it will never go unnoticed. Let's go down into verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass. The seed of death is sharpening. Green grows the grass, but quick comes the seed. The destruction of the ungodly will be speedy, sudden, sure, overwhelming, irretrievable. The grass cannot resist or escape the mower, and wither as the green herb. The beauty of the herb dries up at once in the heat of the sun, and so all the glory of the wicked shall disappear at the hour of death. Death kills the ungodly man like grass, and wrath withers him like hay. He dies, and his name rots. So don't worry, do not fret. His end is near. Everything is coming to an end. How complete an end is made of the man whose boast had no end. It is worthwhile to waste ourselves in fretting about the insect of an hour, is it? An ephemeral which the same day is born and dies. Within believers, there is a living and incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. Why should they envy mere flesh and the glory of it, which are but as grass and the flower thereof? And verse 3 said, trust in the Lord. Here is the second precept, and one appropriate to the occasion. Faith kills fretting. But you know what? Sight is cross-eyed and views things only as they seem. Hence, her envy. Faith has clearer optics to behold things as they really are. Hence, her peace. And do good. True faith is actively obedient. Doing good is a fine remedy for fretting. There is a joy in holy activity which drives away the rust of discontent. So shall thou dwell in the land. In the land which floweth with milk and honey. The Canaan of the covenant. Thou shalt not wander in the wilderness of murmuring, but abide in the promised land of content and rest. So we which have believed do enter into rest. Very much of our outward depends upon the inward. Where there is heaven in the heart, there will be heaven in the house. Let me say that again. Where there is heaven in the heart, there will be heaven in the house. And verily thou shalt be fed or shepherded to integrity and faith necessary or guaranteed. The good shepherd will exercise his pastoral care over all believers. In truth, they shall be fed, and fed on truth. The promise of God shall be their perpetual banquet. They shall neither lack in spirituals nor in temporal. Some read this as an exhortation. Feed on truth. Certainly, of course, this is a very good share. And banish forever the hungry heart burnings of envy. And there is an accent in the third precept. He who was first bidden not to fret was then commanded actively to trust. And now is told with holy desire to delight in God. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Make Jehovah the joy and rejoice. Just continue to rejoice in the Spirit. All bad men delight in carnal objects. Do not envy them if they are allowed to take their fill in such vain idols. Just look thou to thy better delight and fill thyself to the full with the more sublime portion. So in a certain sense, imitate the wicked. They delight in their portion. Take care of their delight in yours. You must do that. And so from envy, you will pity them. So there is no room for fretting. If we remember that God is ours, but there is every incentive to share the enjoyment of the most elevated and ecstatic kind. Every name, attribute, word, or deed of Jehovah should be delightful to us. And in meditating thereon, our soul should be as glad as is the epicure who feeds delicately with a profound relish for his dainties. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This is a pleasant duty. And a pleasant duty is here rewarded with another pleasure. Men who delight in God desire or ask for nothing but what will please God. Hence, it is safe to give them carte blanche. Their will is subdued to God's will, and now they may have what their will may be. Our innermost desires are here, men, not our casual wishes. There are many things which nature might desire, which grace would never permit us to ask for. These deep, prayerful asking desires are those to which the promise is made. So let's go down to verse 5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. So what it is saying? It is saying, roll the whole burden of life upon the Lord. Leave with Jehovah not thy present fretfulness merely, but all thy cares. In fact, submit the whole tenor of thy way to him. Cast away anxiety. Resign thy will. Submit thy judgment. Leave all with God of all. Leave it on the altar. What a mess is this for expelling envy. What a high attainment does this fourth precept indicate. How blessed must he be who lives every day in obedience to it. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Our destiny shall be joyful, accomplished, if we confidently entrust all to our Lord. The plowman sows and harrows, and then leaves the harvest to God. What else can he do? He cannot cover the heavens with clouds, or command the rain, or bring forth the sun, or create the dew. He does well to leave the whole matter with God. And so all of us, it is truest wisdom. It is the best wisdom, having obediently trusted in God, to leave results in his hand and expect a blessed issue. And verse 6 says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. In the matter of personal reputation, we may especially be content to be quiet and leave our vindication with the judge of all the earth. The more we fret, in this case, the worse for us. Our strength is to sit still. We must sit still. The Lord will clear the slandered. If we look to God's honor, He will see to ours. We must always look to God's honor first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all other things shall be added unto you. That is what the Bible says. We must seek His honor, and He will then see to ours. It is wonderful how one faith learns to endure calumny with composure. The filth does not defile her, but falls off like snowballs from a wall of granite. Even in the worst cases, where a good name is for a while darkened, Providence will send the clearing like the dawning light, which shall increase until the man, once censored, shall be universally admired. Yes, and thy judgment as the noonday. No shade of reproach shall remain, none. The man shall be in his meridian of splendor, darkness of his sorrow, and his ill repute shall both flee away. And verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. This fifth is a most divine precept and requires much grace to carry it out. To hush the spirit, to be silent before the Lord, to wait in holy patience, the time for clearing up the difficulties of providence. That is what every gracious heart should aim at. Aaron held his peace. I open not my mouth because thou didst it. A silent tongue in many cases not only shows a wise head, but a holy heart. And wait patiently for Him. For time is nothing to God. Wait patiently for God. Let it be nothing to thee. God is worth waiting for. He never is before His time. He never is too late. Let me say it again. He never is before His time. Neither is He ever late. Never. In a story, we wait for the end to clear up the plot. We ought not to prejudice the great drama of life, but stay still, the closing scene, and see to what the finish, the whole arrives. Fret not thyself because of him who prosper in his way. because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, there is no good, but much evil in worrying your heart about the present success of graceless plotters. Yeah, don't worry about these people. Be not enticed into the premature judgment. They dishonor God. They weary yourself. Determine, let the wicked succeed as they are and as they may, that you will treat the matter with indifference and never allow a question to be raised as to the righteousness and goodness of the Lord. What if devices succeed and your own plans are defeated? There is more of the love of God in your defeat than in the success of the wicked. There is more love of God in your heart. With all the defeats, there is more love of God in your heart than in the success of the wicked. And then verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath, especially anger against the arrangements of providence and jealousies of the temporary pleasures of those who are so soon to be banished from all comfort. Anger anywhere is madness. Here it is aggravated insanity. Yet, since anger will try to keep us company, we must resolvedly forsake it. Yes, since it's here to keep us company, we must resolvedly to forsake it. Fret not thyself in any wise, do evil. By no reasonings and under no circumstances be led into such a course. Fretfulness lies upon the verge of great sin. For many who have indulged and murmuring disposition have at last come to sin. In order to gain their fancied rights, beware of carping at others. Study to be yourself, found in the right way, and as you would dread outward sin, tremble at inward repining. For evildoers, all of them shall be cut off. Their death shall be a penal judgment, not a gentle removal to a better state. Evildoers shall be cut off from this earth. Their death shall be a penal judgment, not a gentle removal to a better state, but an execution in which the axe of justice will be used. But those that wait upon the Lord, those who is patient, faith expect their portion in another life. They shall inherit the earth. Even in this life, they have the most of real enjoyment, and in the ages to come, there shall be the glory and the triumph. You know what? Passion, according to Bunyan's parable, has his good things first. and they are soon over. Patience has its good thing last, and it lasts forever. Let me go over that again. Let me go over that again. Bunyan's parable says, passion has his good things first. Passion, you always jump to get things quickly, and they are soon over. But patience has his good things last, and they last forever. And so, I want to thank you today for allowing me to minister into you this Psalm 37, that you must not fret. Take your time, for every wicked behavior will come to an end. And nothing would ever go unnoticed by God. He is divine justice. And divine justice will put everything into perspective. I thank you. God bless you. Have a blessed weekend. I pray that you be blessed. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the brothers, Doug and Don, in the radio station. Continue to bless them, Lord, as they make it possible for your word to go forth through me as a conduit. Continue to bless them and bless their family and keep them in perfect peace. In your precious name, I ask this. God bless you all. Amen.